Very good. Think about that for a minute. You are a child of God. Just let that sink in for 30 seconds. You're a child of God. I don't think there's anything cooler than that. Honestly, thank you, worship team. So today's sermon is titled, Be Encouraged. And even when I titled it and I texted Sue Rush and gave her the title, I was like, this is funny. This is funny. Because I did not feel very encouraged. And I was like, Lord, you always have a sense of humor. Because I feel like the last person on the face of the earth that should stand up here and say, be encouraged. Be encouraged. The Lord is so good to us, and he's so faithful, even when we struggle to remain in his presence, on his path, or pursuing the purpose he's called us to. The Lord is so faithful to us, and today's sermon is, be encouraged, no matter where you find yourself today. Be encouraged. We've never gone off the path far enough that he doesn't open his arms up and have a celebration when we turn our ear back to him or our eyes back to him or our hearts back to him. He is so ridiculously, recklessly in love with us. That he's given us his word to hold on to. So, be encouraged. When you find yourselves at a place where you're lacking courage, where you're lacking bravery, where you're struggling to get out of bed, to go to work, to go to the meeting, to face life, how do we find the courage to keep putting our foot to the pavement, right? Keep grinding on that stone. So, as I was preparing for the sermon this week, and let me tell you, anybody who would like to give a sermon should know that the week before is going to be fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Flawless and fabulous. So you should all be signing up on the backboard with a potluck to do your weeks, okay? Little bit of sarcasm there. Typically when you get up to preach and you don't do it every single week, and I think even when you do it every single week, there is warfare because the good Lord is gonna do something awesome with his word. He is not sending it out there to be void. And so he knows as he's preparing his preacher to give the word that it's going to be good. And you know who else knows it's going to be good? The devil. And he is frantically trying to get you off course all week long. So this week has been a little bit of a struggle. I've been faced with myself in ways that I try to avoid. And I have been faced with some of my fears. Some of my anxieties, worries, you name it, my weaknesses in life. I like to be strong, probably like everybody else here. We like to be strong. We like to be independent. We like to not need help. Anybody else? Okay, a few of you are brave enough to raise your hand. Yes. So this week, not only are my parents traveling, and my parents are such a just a blessing to my husband and myself and our family because they help us with rides to school and rides home and rides to practice. We have three kids, one in elementary school, one in junior high school, one in high school, and they're all very active children and lots of sports and lots of things going on. And then not only that, my husband and I are very active and he's coaching two basketball teams and I'm coaching a soccer team and I want to do youth directing. I mean, we're just a busy family and my parents are like this huge blessing to us because they're available to do school pickups and drop-offs, and it's awesome. And then they say, remember, we're leaving for the next 2.5 weeks. And my husband and I are like, oh my gosh, we gotta figure this out. And which meant I had to use this four-letter word. My husband has always said, babe, I'm waiting for the four-letter word from you. And I'm like, can you help me? My four-letter word in my life is help. I hate saying it. I hate asking for it. I really just don't like it. And so this week, the Lord has really challenged my ability to ask for help and challenged my ability to trust. One of the reasons I don't like asking for help is because I struggle in trust. And so, as I was thinking, no big deal, I'll preach for you, Dad. No big deal, we can do everything that we are doing. The Lord thought it would be really awesome to work on my lack of trust this week. So not only did we have to ask for help, I got sick this week. So I lost 8 pounds this week, so all my Christmas weight is gone. It's really exciting. I thought I was going to have to go to the gym, but I didn't. I just had to stay in bed. So that didn't help. That actually made me feel more stressed because I wasn't able to even do the things that I thought I should have been able to do. And so one day, as I was sitting on the couch with my two dogs and the fire going, and it was just such a beautiful picture, except I should have been at work, and I should have been doing things, and I should have been preparing for coaching, and I should have been doing meetings, and I should have been doing all of these things, but the good Lord had me on the couch, sick as a dog, with my two dogs keeping me warm. I finally got enough energy to crack open the Bible after I listened to a gospel song. Every morning I get up and I put my gospel music on. And this gospel song came on, and it's called Encourage Yourself. Encourage Yourself. And the words are up there. They're really, really tiny. It says, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes you have to speak victory during the test. And no matter how you feel, speak the word, and you will be healed. Speak over yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you have to speak the word over yourself. The pressure is all around, but God is a present help. The enemy created walls, but remember giants, they do fall. Speak over yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord. As I minister to you, oh, I minister to myself, life can hurt you so till you feel there's nothing left. No matter how you feel, speak the word and you will be healed. Speak over yourself, speak over yourself, speak over yourself. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. As this gospel song, and it is 8 minutes long, otherwise I would have just played it for you. I encourage you to look it up. It's amazing. If you need encouragement, let this song sing over you, because I listened to this song and I cracked open my Bible and I was like, okay, Lord, it says speak the word. Speak the word. I need help. I need courage. I need strength. So I open up the Bible and my dad, who is also my pastor and your pastor, I know you've heard him say it, get in the Word every day. How many of us are in the Word every day? I can't raise my hand. I'm not in the Word every day. I should be in the Word every day, but I'm not. There are some of us that are in the Word every day. Pastor Dave, he gets up here every week and he's like, get in the Word every day. Get in the Word every day. Get in the Word every day. And I know I fail at it because I think, oh, I just don't have time. Oh, I don't have time to read that whole chapter. Oh, I don't know where to start. And my dad, his reading plan, he's always taught it to me since I was like your guys' age. Yeah, Jace knows what it's like to have Pastor Dave in the house, right? It's pretty cool. Anyway, he's always like, have you read your word? What's God telling you? Did you ask God what he wanted you to do? And you are like, oh. No, Dad, I didn't. Anyway, get in the word every day. He is not lying to you. He is not lying. Because sometimes all it takes is 45 seconds, one verse. The Lord knows what you need. He knows the time you have. He knows how to get it to you. So if we are faithful enough to crack open the Bible, to open it up and to say, Lord, give me what I need today. Encourage me. Strengthen me. He will do it. I opened up my Bible that day on the couch, and I read Psalm 25, because Pastor Dave always said, if you don't know where to start, start in the Psalms, because you can find anything you need in the Psalms. Have you heard him say it? Yeah, it's true. He is not lying to you. He's really good at liar's poker. Don't play with him. But he doesn't lie on Sunday morning, okay? He is not lying to you. If you don't know where to start, start in the Psalms. Because everything that you're going through, one of the Psalm writers, I promise you, has written about it. They have. And so I opened up my Bible, I got to Psalms, and I was like, what day is today? And then I did my multiplication, because Pastor Dave says, read 5 Psalms a day. And I'm like, oh, that's exhausting. I don't have time for 5 Psalms a day, Dad. Okay, so I just opened it up, I did my multiplication, and I was like, oh, I should start on Psalm 35. So I started on Psalm 35, and I read Psalm 35. I got to Psalm 35, 27, and it says, may those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of his servant. The Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of his servant, of his child, of his children. Have you ever stopped to think that the Lord delights in your well-being? He really does. He delights in your well-being. That was enough for that day. It really was. It's all I needed. I read one chapter. It didn't take me long. But God provided the song, Encourage Yourself. He got me to open up my Bible. He had me do a little bit of math to figure out where I should start. And then he gave me the verse where I needed to be. To know and to hear that he takes delight in my well-being. That was pretty awesome, which made me think, Lord, what do you want from me? You've been talking to me. You've been nudging me. You've been working in my life. And to be really honest, this is why I think I'm the last person who should be talking about be encouraged. Because I've been a little angry. I've been a little mad. And I've been a lot sad. And it's hard to talk about this. I lost a good mentor in my life. And my heart aches. And I work with kids and I love them and they're my passion. These kids are my absolute passion. I know that's why God put me here. to love them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to tell them, you're going to be okay. You really are. No matter how hard it is today, no matter what you face, you're going to be okay. And at the beginning of the school year, one of my students committed suicide. And I don't think there's anything hard, anything you can say about that. And I've been really mad. I've been really mad about it. And I stopped reading my word. And I just tried to go on my strength. And guess what? I'm empty. I'm empty. So, God faced me with myself, and he said, you have to trust me. And I said, okay, Lord, I will trust you. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes life hurts. Sometimes there is grief that will never make sense. Sometimes there are pains that can never be explained. That is the world. But the good news is, we're not alone. God sent his son to walk on this earth, to heal the sick, to bring the dead back to life. And you guys, sometimes that's spiritually dead, back to life. So that we can have joy, so that we can have peace. Even when we are climbing the face of Mount Everest, that we can go at it and continue to trust that you will bring me through this. You have promised never to leave me and never to forsake me. So be encouraged. The whole sermon today, it's to let you know, wherever you're at in life, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower, the four soils. Wherever you're at, whatever the soil of your heart looks like today, this isn't a linear thing. When I used to read this parable ever since I was a little kid, and I've been blessed to be raised in a very strong Christian home, I have always heard this parable. It is a common parable. And I always thought it was linear. You were one of the four soils. And when I read it this week, I realized it's not linear. Our heart can look like any one of those four soils at any time in our life. Sometimes, we're going to read it. Sometimes our heart is like that first rocky soil. Sometimes our heart is like the soil that looks good, but there's just rocks underneath. And sometimes our heart is deep, and it's rich, and it's full of nutrients. And it is ready, ready to yield a harvest. So let's go to the Word, be blessed by this parable. Know that it is not linear. It is not one face. That your heart at any time in your life can look like any one of these four soils. And God wants to encourage us to come to him and to let him cultivate the soil of our heart, to cultivate the soil of our life, so that our heart yields love. Our heart yields joy. It yields peace. And when we go out into the world, we yield crops and crops and crops of goodness and mercy and faithfulness and peace and joy that we can encourage one another. So let's go to the Lord's Word. We're in Matthew chapter 13. I'll try not to read too fast. If I start reading really fast, just wave your hand at me and I'll slow down. We got 23 verses to get through, okay? So that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" I think that's a good question. Why did Jesus speak in parables? And he answers it right here. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has been given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the promise of Isaiah." And Pastor Dave's been talking about the prophecies of Isaiah and how hundreds of years went by before we heard from the Lord again. So Jesus speaking in parables fulfills this prophecy. "You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but not perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So in verse 18, he says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means." And I love that Jesus took the time to explain it. He didn't just leave them with a parable and let them try to figure it out on their own. He explains it to them. He says, "Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown into their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. So you hear it, but you don't understand it." What are we going to do with that? I mean, we can come to church every Sunday. We can hear the word, but not really understand it. And what happens on Monday? Are we thinking about it? No. What happens on Tuesday? Are we trying to understand it? No. By Tuesday, we've already forgotten what happened on Sunday, right? That's the first part. So in verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So this is the shallow soil with the rocks underneath. And I don't know how many of you get out in gardens or try to plant or have done any landscaping. You have that nice soil, but then you have these rocks underneath, and those roots have trouble getting down into the rocks. It takes time for the root to get down in there and break apart enough to get the nourishment out. So you hear it, you receive it with joy, you're excited about it, But the minute that first ocean wave comes and slaps you, you're like, oh, and we return to our old ways because we're not rooted. We haven't taken time to dig in ourselves and study. And I really like what it says on verse 21. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he tells you right then and there, when you are trying to grow in me, you will have trouble and persecution. He's telling you. He's not even trying to keep that a secret. It will come. He's basically saying it will come. Keep coming to me. Keep opening my word. And then in verse 22, it says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and make it unfruitful. It might not just be the worries, and it might not just be the wealth that choke out that good plant. It might be our own bitterness. It might be our own jealousy. It might be our own judgments that choke out the word of God. And then you get to verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. That's not reserved just for pastors. It's not reserved just for church leaders, just for people who read an hour a day. It's not reserved for the people who are like, you know, routine. That's not saying be religious. This is for all of us who are in a relationship with the Lord. This is for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, professes the name of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and goes to him in prayer. Goes to him. You turn the music so that while you're working or while you're driving or while you're doing the dishes, that the word of God is still being spoken to you through the music. You guys, our worship is scripture being sung over us. And if you're super busy like myself, that devotional that you grab every morning and you spend a minute and a half reading, that devotional is also a means for God to speak to your soul and prepare you for your day. I'm telling you, sometimes it takes one verse. Sometimes you can sit down and read for an hour. But God wants you to be encouraged. So, your so what today, because I know you guys would all go home sad without a so what. You would. You'd all be like, we didn't get a so what. I don't know what to do this week. Your so what this week is, do a checkup. Do a heart check. You don't have to do it today. But just at some point throughout the week, ask the Lord, help me understand what the soil of my heart is. You may not love the answer. I didn't. But I love the result from the answer. I love that God loves me enough to show me there's some thorns here. We need to get rid of the thorns. And there's some stones here. This stone of distrust, we've got to pull that one now. I've let it sit there long enough. But let's remove that stone. So, what's the current condition of your heart soil? Is your heart soil hard? Is a seed being snatched up before it even hits the ground? Is your heart soil rocky? Do you have anger? Do you have fear? Do you have worry? Do you have stress? Do you have grief? Do you have pride, hardship, hurt, pain, disappointment, insecurity? Do you have rocks in your soil that are causing you not to grow because you're feeling the grief every day? I mean, think if you ran into a rock every day. It hurts. It hurts. And God, in his perfect time, and you guys, I'm 39 years old, he's saying, yeah, it's time to take that distrust rock. Let's take that distrust rock out now. You've covered it up really good, but now it's time to wipe it off, look at the name on it, call it what it is, face it, dig it out, let me help you. I'll lift it up, I'll take it out, you hold my hand, you walk with me, you learn a new level of faith. You learn a new level of trust. That's what we're doing. All right, Lord, I'm scared, but I'm gonna obey you. Is your heart soil full of prickly thorns? Do you have bitterness? Do you have judgment? Do you have resentment? Do you have jealousy? And is gossip thorning up your heart? How can we change these things? It's not for you to do by yourself, because by ourselves, we can't. Just know that. It's for God to do with you. It's for God to do in you. It's for him to use his power at work in your willing heart. He's not going to ask you to do it all in one day because he loves you that much. Okay? He isn't. He's just going to do a little bit at a time. And he's going to know what you're ready for. And he's going to be gracious enough to only deal with what you're ready for at the time. Even if you think you're not ready, he's never going to do more than you can handle. I know it. I promise you. I know that is true. That saying of, he never gives you more than you can take, and you're always like, I think this is more than I can take. It's really not. It's just really uncomfortable. Okay? So you can trust him. You heard me say it here. You can trust him. Is your heart soil rich in nutrients, deep and ready to hold onto the seed planted, ready to yield a harvest? And your harvest is love, and your harvest is joy, and your harvest is peace and goodness and mercy and thankfulness and praise. Listen, that's all our goal. It is. None of us are ever just going to be like, yeah, I've got it down. Pretty much perfect. Just ask me, what do you need? Let me give you the seeds. No, none of us are there. But that's where God wants us to be. So don't feel the pressure to be there today, to be there tomorrow, to be there ever. It's just the work he's doing in us. So on this next, if you can keep going. I think it's coming up. We might have a stall. Anyway, I had some pictures to show you because when you think about the seed being planted, you know, the Lord is putting those seeds out. And you guys, I don't think it's an accident that this church is the seed. It's not. When those seeds are being put out, what soil do they fall on? You do your so what, you do your heart check. It's okay to be honest with God. He's not going to call you to stand up and be honest in front of the whole world. He's not even going to ask you to do it with your best friend. He just wants to get honest with you and do that work in your heart. So if we keep going, you have the rocky soil. Plants can grow there. They can. They just, those roots take a long time. And if any kind of storm or pressure or anything comes, those plants are torn out quickly. And if you see my bucket of rocks down there, I'm pretty sure that bucket of rock exists somewhere, like from my own heart. You know, from my own bitterness and my own anger and my own resentment and my own hurts and my own fears and my own worries and my own anxieties and all of those things that I let the world give me. I picked them up. And God doesn't want us to do that. So he will graciously and ever so gently, even if it doesn't feel gentle, it is gentle, remove that rock. when you're ready. So if we keep going, then you have the plants that grow up with thorns, and they can grow up together, and it looks nice, and then all of a sudden those thorns start showing up, and what happens is the thorns choke out the plant. So I think that's where bitterness comes in. I think that's where maybe jealousy comes in. You don't really think it's a problem until you realize, like, oh, wow, this is really a problem. You know, my jealousy has really gotten a hold of me, or my insecurities, or listening to workplace gossip. You know, it does. It wears on you. It wears on you. And I think God just wants you to, and me, to learn how to turn that down. And really consider, is this helping me grow? Is this helping me stay positive? Is this helping me have joy? Is this helping me stay peaceful? And if it's not, man, pull that thorn up and out and say, Lord, help me. Help me not be jealous. Help me not be insecure. Help me turn it off. And then we get to the very last one, and isn't that just so beautiful? My mom's going to hear this message, and she's going to be like, oh my gosh, here she goes talking about, isn't that beautiful when you look at cornfields and bean fields? It is so beautiful. We traveled, what, 3 years ago back to Illinois? And my dad and I are in the car, and we're like, look at the cornfields, right, Chase? Look at the bean fields. Isn't it beautiful? It is. It's majestic. Because I think it reminds us of what God's at work doing. If he can take this tiny seed. I know everybody did this in like a kindergarten class. You put it in the cup. And then you see the root go down. And then all of a sudden it sprouts up. It's so exciting. I don't know if you had a five-year-old in your house that just thought it was fantastic, or if you were that five-year-old who thought it was fantastic. But it's beautiful. That's what God's doing in our heart. And yes, there is a temptation to dig your fingers in there and just want to touch it and look at it, right? At least that was me. Okay? I just want to see. What does it feel like? What's happening? How does that seed open up? And my mom and dad were like, don't touch it. Just let it work. God's not going to be like, don't touch it. He's going to be like, yeah, figure out what peace feels like. Figure out what joy feels like. Because look what happens. That tiny little seed becomes a little sprout, and it becomes like a little tiny plant, and it's so exciting. And as much as you see on the top of what's happening, underneath this awesomeness is happening because it is rooted. And that's what God asks us to be, rooted in him. How are we rooted? Listen, I'm guilty of it. I don't open it every day. I don't, and you know what? I'm going to, even if it's to read one verse. Sometimes when I was a teenager, I used to call it Russian roulette with the Bible, because I used to be like, what do you have for me today? There you go, Ephesians. I'm in Ephesians. That's what we're going to read, okay? Listen, God can work with it. He's not recommending it, but he can still work with a willing heart. He can work with a willing heart. If you don't know where to start, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's what Pastor Dave says. It's not what I say. It's what I've learned from Pastor Dave. Read a gospel chapter. Read a gospel chapter each day. If you can't read a whole chapter, read a few verses and pick up the next day. Start with Matthew. I love Matthew. It's so easy to read. It's a story. It's so wonderful. You learn all about who Jesus is. It's exciting. If you don't know where to start, start there. And the Psalms, Pastor Dave's prescription for reading the Word every day is read one chapter of the Gospel, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read one of those a day, one chapter. And he says read one chapter of the Proverbs each day. He thinks we have all this time, I think. And then he says read five Psalms a day. And I am like, good Lord, Dad, I work a full-time job. I have 3 kids. Like, I cannot get all that done in one day. And he's like, okay, just read something. Read the gospel. He'll always tell you start with the gospels because that's how you get to know Jesus. Read the gospels. I love Matthew. It's my favorite one. It is. I get in the Psalms because I'm telling you what, the Psalms really do address anything you're ever going through. He says 5 Psalms a day, so like on the 3rd day of the month, you would do 3 times 5, and it would tell you to start at 15. That's how you do math with the Bible. Okay? So you figure out, you know, 13 times 5 is, I don't know, a lot. My husband's laughing at me. So you do your multiplication, figure out where you should start. And if you really only get to 3 verses, that's cool. Because guess what? That is way more than 0. And we just want more than 0. And guess what? The more you read it, the more you get from it, the more you grow, the more you desire it, the more you figure out how to find the time to get there. I know it's true. And sometimes we fall backwards and we get out of habit. And you know what? He forgives us. He just wants us with him. So be encouraged. If you can't get in the Bible, get a devotional. Read that. If you don't have time for a devotional, put Pandora or Spotify or some other music listening thing on your phone and have it already tuned into the Christian station. On your car, have your first preset set to a Christian station. I have to tell you, last night, Brandy and I, we took 5 little girls to a 4-way gymnastics meet. We had 11 to 13-year-olds. We are brave, brave ladies. And I had the Christian radio on because I knew I needed the Christian radio. And all of a sudden, in the back seat, I hear a voice that I don't recognize singing a song. And I said, "Who's singing?" And they all said, "Helena." And I went, "Oh, you know the song?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I listen to Christian radio with my mom all the time." And I was like, "Oh, that's so cool." And the girl in the middle, Sasha's all, "Oh yeah, I listen to Air One all the time. Is that what you're listening to?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's what I'm listening to." And I'm thinking, I know my daughter does, and I know her daughter does. How cool is that? Because guess what? I'm being selfish and I'm listening to Christian radio because I know I need it. That's a lot of eyes. But you know what else God does? He doesn't send that seed out there to come back void. He's putting that seed in the hearts of the kids. Cool, right? So if you can't get in the Word, if you can't find a devotional you love, start with the music. Is it true the first thing I do when I get up, I barely even speak because I am not a morning person, I turn on my phone, don't I? And I have it set to a gospel music because I love gospel music. And I just let it wash over me. And that's how I start my day. That's my be encouraged. Check the soil of your heart. Know that God can work in anything. But be encouraged. Commit, as we're at the start of the year, a new name, your white stone, your word. Know that God is at work and that he wants you to be encouraged. If you haven't gotten a white stone, if you weren't here to get a name last week, come pick up a name, come pick up a tile. And then if you have your word, write it on the board. Don't be afraid to commit to it. God asked me the day before last Sunday, because I wanted my word to be intention, because I wanted to be intentional about everything. And God was like, "No, your word's going to be joy." And I was like, "You're joking, right? Like, you're really joking, because I'm not very joyful." Right? "I'm not very joyful, Lord. That's funny. I think being intentional about my time and my words and my money and my everything sounds easier than being joyful right now." And he was like, "No, It's going to be joy. And I was like, how about intentional joy? And he was like, nope, just joy. J-O-Y, short and easy, joy. So I said, fine. I will be obedient. And I came through the wine last week, and I was obedient, and I picked my tile, and I picked my name, and I put them together, and I stuck them in my pocket because I didn't want to look at them. And then I took communion because I knew that I needed to get my heart right. I took communion. I was blessed by Jesus to remember that his body was broken for me, that his blood was shed for me, to be reminded. And I remembered my own baptism. I remember my own personal dedication to the Lord. And then I came over to this beautiful drawing that we have over here. And I picked up a pink marker. And I was obedient. And I wrote joy on there. And I was like, let's see how this goes, Lord. Put a little heart on the end of that joy. And I was like, there you go. You can put joy in my heart. And then I turned around and I talked to my youth kids. And we were talking about our names. And we were looking at how many numbers we got on our tiles. And they said, what's your name? And I said, I don't know, I haven't looked. So I reached in my pocket, pulled out my tile, which only has 4 on one side and 0 on the other, because I'm turning 40 this year. Uh-huh. God has a sense of humor. He wanted to bring me some joy right then and there. And he also said, it's 4 because it's my Trinity and you. And there is nothing else that matters. It's the 4 of us. Stop worrying about everything else. So I was like, that's cool. All right, that's cool, Lord. And then I flipped my name over. And it is Joyful One. So listen. It's not a coincidence. God is that cool. You can trust him. Even when your obedience is a little 4-year-old-ish, when you're turning 40, he will work. Just turn to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the work that you're doing in each of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you are a living God, that you are alive, that you are active, and that you care about our well-being. Thank you, Lord, that you are personally at work with each heart in this room that's here today, that's listening on the broadcast, that's listening online, that's listening in their cars, that's listening in their homes. Lord, you are at work on the soil of our heart. Let us check in with you each day to be encouraged. Encourage yourself. Those are the words that were sung. Encourage yourself with my word. Lord, let us come to you and encourage ourselves with your word. Father, thank you. I praise you. I love you. Continue to work. Continue to heal. Continue to make new and whole what was once lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.